thought I might have missed my opportunity, missing out in the first innings, but I guess, yeah, I'm not going to say no to playing and getting a chance, am I?
We see him as a player of enormous potential. He is definitely a game breaker.
Talking about Nick Maddison there, so Trevor Holmes, the interim chairman of selectors, may become the regular one. We'll wait and see. A lot of talk about the Pontings and the Wars of the world, but they don't have the time to give up for that sort of role, I don't believe. Unless they raise the pay by five times, you might get them. Chris Barrett joins us. He's in studio. Good to see you, mate.
Morning, guys.
I was saying last time there were six-plus changes in the Australian cricket team, we go back to 1884-85. I mean, that's how significant it is.
And that was over a pay dispute, I believe. They sacked not over form, but over a pay dispute after the first Test match. And I think they had other occasions during that home summer where they sacked a whole heap of players. So it is of historic proportions, isn't it? There was a real line in the sand moment yesterday. I think what they've done, the selectors, is bought themselves time and bought the team time, because I think the immediate question you ask is, what if this team gets smashed up in Adelaide as well? What if they get beaten heavily by Pakistan? Well, at the very least, the selectors can say, well, this is a team for the future. You know, so they've moved on, I suppose, from those 30-something guys that they've discarded from the last Test match. But it'll be interesting to see how much time they give this present team, because I think there's certainly some contentious calls in there.
It's strange. I think maybe the consensus is it's all a good idea, but it's a results-driven business, so we're about to find out how patience. But I don't think I've ever seen a chairman of selectors, Chris, as Trevor Holmes did yesterday, sort of come out and say, hey, let's all take a big breath. We've made change. It might not be good, but we need some patience. Get behind him, give him some support, and let's hope we can go forward from here. It's, you know, we all want to see better performances, he said. And the criticism, which has been a tsunami of criticism, some of it's been justified. So he conceded all of that, but it does appear there is a way forward here at least.
It was a staggering preamble, wasn't it? I've never heard anything like it myself either, and that probably demonstrated just how low the team has fallen, I guess, in the last few months. You know, I think they've done the right thing in terms of stripping back the team. Steve Smith effectively demanded it in his post-game press conference in Hobart. He basically said, I need a team of blokes who are going to fight for the baggy green cap, etc. So there was a mandate there for change, and if they hadn't have made change, then Smith's authority basically would have been undermined in a sense. So there's no doubt they've run this team past Smith, and I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of them are captain's calls as well. I mean, we know that Nick Maddison, for instance, is a guy who the numbers don't stack up for Nick Maddison.
No.
But we know that he's well admired and well respected in the New South Wales setup. Steve Smith obviously knows him pretty well. They've picked him on potential. They've picked him on instinct, which they've actually had to do because the numbers aren't there for a lot of guys on the next rung down.
Yeah,
and they've done that over the time. I wonder whether Andrew Simons. I mean, I kept hearing in all his selection initially was potential, and then eventually he sort of reached that potential. Michael Clarke, when he got first picked, he hadn't made many hundreds at all, but it was all on a hunch that this guy, technically, well, you could see that he had the game. So I think Maddison has proven he's got a game. So now they're hoping he gets in there and rises to another level.
His attitude was very good. We had a chat with him, Chris, last Thursday or Friday. Last Thursday on the program, and he was really significant thing I took out of it was the fact is, I'm getting to my 30s and that, but I'm now got to start converting those 30s into big scores. So his attitude seemed to be maybe better than it was maybe a season or two ago.
Yeah, I think probably the immediate reaction for people who haven't followed Nick Maddison lately is that, oh, he's a slogger. You know, he's picked for the Australian T20 side. He flies in the Matador Cup one-day competition. You know, what's he doing in the Test side? He has matured a lot as a cricketer. I guess the problem I have slightly is, you know, what if he's coming in at 4 for 15 again? You know, they've picked him because he's the sort of guy that can take the game away from the opposition. He can go up the gears like no one else. He's as powerful as David Warner. But, you know, is he the sort of guy that if they're in trouble again, which they've been in a lot lately, that can stick around and dig them out of that hole? And that's going to be the question, I think.
Now, what do you know about Matt Renshaw? Right? It's a big selection. 20 years of age, 10 first-class games, 41 average. He scored 100 in this last Shield game, which sort of cemented a spot, I suppose, for him. But background in England.
born in England, come to Queensland via New Zealand. And he's done a Stephen Bradbury here. Cameron Bancroft is a player that, as you know, that the selectors have got a lot of time for. They picked him on a tour last year, the Bangladesh tour, which was later aborted for security reasons.
That's right, he would have played over there too.
He would already be a test player. They wanted him for the India tour next year. They fancy him against spin, but he hasn't got the runs on the board. He's missed his opportunity. And Renshaw's got an enormous opportunity here. He's got a very nice temperament. It was interesting that after the Hobart test, where Australian batsmen really showed no resilience at all, aside from Steve Smith, I suppose, and Usman Khawaja, this bloke's come out and hit a hundred in off a few hundred deliveries. Basically, he's basically known exactly what characteristics he needed to show to impress the selectors. Yeah. And they've had a lot of time for him before. He slipped under the radar for most of us, even the journos following the game. But he was on the Australia A side in the winter, so he's been on the radar for the selectors.
Yeah, and he was getting plenty of publicity up there in Brisbane as well. So he went out under the pump and he made 108, as you mentioned, in pretty quick time. And then he came out, backed it up with a half century in the second innings at the Gabba. You've got to like that when you're
in 51 balls too. So he gets
when you're in the frame and you convert, and that's what Peter Hanscom just did at the SCG for Victoria, and he's sort of been very, very well, I guess, brought along's the word, isn't it? He's always been in the system, Chris Hanscom. He was a keeper to start with, keeper batsman or batsman keeper, and now coming off a double hundred at the SCG. So at least he goes to Adelaide full of confidence, you would imagine.
He might be the best keeper in the Australian team at the moment, I reckon. But
he might.
He can probably thank Trent Copeland as well. He dropped him on 14.
Twice.
He dropped him on 79 as well, actually. Copeland, you're right, yeah.
Copeland actually dropped him twice.
So he did him a favour there. But look,
he converted. Yeah, that happens, doesn't it?
He's a very well-organised sort of compact player, isn't he? And he's the sort of player you would think in the middle order that if Australia do get into problems, he's the sort of guy that might be able to fight his way out of it. I think that selection speaks for itself. And you're right, TK, if blokes are being seen as selection candidates and then they come out and get 100 in that very game, and this was seen as this extraordinary round of Shield cricket where there were test spots up for grabs for half the players in the side, you can't argue with that at all. I mean, Maddinson didn't exactly throw down the gauntlet himself, but I think they had him in mind anyway. He's just shaded Curtis Patterson, who had been sort of mooted all week as the next man in.
Mm. Yeah. I feel for Pete Neville. I think we've lost the gloveman, and it just goes with what's happening in world cricket, and Gilly was the one who sort of changed it. You know, this whole batting side of things is so important, and that's why Wade's back in. But, you know, how much do you sacrifice from a glovemanship point of view? We'll wait and see.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this decision. Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of people in cricket shaking their heads about this one, because Peter Neville is a far better wicketkeeper. I don't think he's too much an inferior batsman, although he's had a chance to get hundreds and he hasn't got one at test level, and Wade's got a couple. But the most astounding thing is that they've essentially picked Matt Wade on character.
Yes, I agree with you.
They've picked him because, as you've said, they want more mongrel in the team. Mm. He's a prickly sort of bloke. He wasn't the most popular bloke in the dressing room when he was in the Australian side.
No, he wasn't.
At all. And Peter Neville is almost the complete opposite of him. He's quietly spoken. He's very well liked. He's very respectful. And he doesn't have the same bark, you would think, on the field. But Wade does. And they've almost got him back to get a bit nasty on the field, I think. And, you know, you have to feel for Peter Neville in that respect.
Yeah, he'd be the quietest keeper I reckon I can remember.
Pete Neville, yeah.
Yeah, behind the
normally stuff. They're real chirpers,
you know,
aren't they?
And I think, you know, and it's not having a go at his character, that's just his nature. But when Steve Smith came out and said he wants some characters and resilience, and maybe some mongrel, as you've mentioned, in that dressing room. And Matthew Wade actually pushed himself up to 5 in that Shield game at the SCG on the weekend to try and make runs to make sure he'd be noticed. But you're right, a lot of it's been picked on character, hasn't it?
There was a bit of a whisper that Matt Wade might get picked as a specialist batsman as well. But, I mean, I sort of never bought into that as well. But, Trevor Holmes has admitted it straight out that they've picked a lot of this side on character, and that probably goes back to some of Steve Smith's comments after Hobart, where he was basically having a shot at the character in general of the Australian team. So, but it's a pretty tough pill to swallow for Peter Neville. I mean, he hasn't done a hell of a lot wrong, and in many ways he's been made the scapegoat for the failures of the blokes above him. I mean, what's he meant to do when he comes in at 5 for 17 or what have you? I mean, he can fight it out, and he's a bit of a fighter, but there's... there's only so much saving he can do at that point.
Yeah, I agree with you. The batting woes have cost him big time. Just slipping across to South Africa, do we know what's happening with Faf in terms of ICC? Is it a fine? Is it a suspension? Is that being
a charge?
It's a charge. Well, he's been charged, pending a hearing. Yeah. So, yeah. So it could be either or. It's a charge pending a hearing. This is
an interesting one, isn't it?
They have carried on like clowns, the South Africans, in this respect. I mean, with that.
Well,
with
they
that
had the whole team with there. The team with there.
Well, it reminded me of when Craig Bellamy and the Storm guys marched out from the other side.
How'd that go?
Not real well. A couple of premierships later, and a few million bucks. Yeah.
There's no one walking the planet who can't say that was deliberately altering the ball.
Of course.
The interesting point of that, though,
obviously
is that
we're not broadcasting in South
Africa.
No, but
the interesting side of it is, I mean, it was dead obvious. And the theory of mints has been around for a long time. And it was England many moons ago. Murray's mints.
Were they?
And they're the Forex mints over here. But I can stand in the field and chew gum all day. I could have a pocket of Forex mints and devour them in a day in the field if I want to. And just the fact the ball comes round to me, I mean, I've got a mint in my mouth and I put the saliva on the ball, that's what you do. It's a very hard thing to police.
It's a very grey area because they reckon every team's got their mint man.
Yeah, well...
I've heard certain names bandied about, well, I won't mention them on air, about certain mint men in different teams. And the ICC is a very reactive organisation. I mean, there's no way they're out there policing it. They've been sent this footage, which has been found by a bloke on Twitter, or who's posted it on Twitter. And that's how things come out.
Yeah.
And as a result, they've gone, well, we can't let people get away with this. But you can bet your life that there's other people doing it. And that's why the South Africans are blowing up. They're saying everyone else is doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Like when you get pulled over for speeding, Chris. What about the other bloke? Well, I caught you.
Yeah, but it's like you're allowed as a fielder to have a mint in your mouth.
Yeah, but he's my allowed point.
But he stuck the finger in.
If I'm at cover and I've got I'm allowed to chew a mint, and I'm allowed to shine the ball. No one's gonna. I can put saliva. You know, they've got to ban mints at the ground.
Well, I can tell you what it worked. Well, they also got caught for, got warned for throwing the ball into the.
Yeah, they're being
and there's also there's been, many teams there's also been talk about the, about their keeper rubbing the ball with his glove too, right. Which is what De Villiers allegedly did a couple of years
and
ago.
And the bottle
as well,
tops. So. No, there were no bottle tops. I mean, there was no bottle
the
tops.
Spikes.
They do have a bit of form in this respect.
Yeah, they do. He looked guilty, and it got a bit ugly too.
Yeah.
By the way, on the footpath in and outside the hotel on the weekend. 7:22. Chris Barrett from the Sydney Morning Herald on the cricket rounds is our special guest today, so if you got some calls, 13 53 53.
Hello, Anthony.
Listen, even if you use the mint, you still got to bowl the right line and length. We couldn't bowl on length if we use the mint.
Oh man, we didn't get beaten because of a lollipop or a mint.
No.
Listen, using Andrew Symons' criteria, Glenn Maxwell must be unlucky. Bowlers love him. He helps get made. Helps him get maiden overs. The batsmen are nervous when he's around, hovering around backward square and that. He's batting like Andrew Symons, they're rocks and diamonds, but he wins matches. I reckon he was worth a crack.
Well, I sort of feel the same way. I think he should be nestled in at 5 and 6 now in the test team, but they're off him, aren't they, Chris?
Well, it's like Andrew Symons. It's exactly the same. His fielding's fantastic. His bats wins matches. Bowlers love him. Batsmen are nervous when he's around.
He's got the numbers as well. And you know he's a decent spinner as well. He gives you that option. I think Victoria haven't done him any favours by batting him way down in the order. Obviously dropped him for the first game of the season.
Yeah, what was that about?
There's a lot of drama.
Well,
going
he wanted
on
to come to New South.
I think that's some of it. Yeah, absolutely. And they've got a pretty well stacked team in terms of batting talent. But there is a bit of rumour going around that Australia want to play four quicks in Adelaide, and that Maddison will be the spinner. So if that actually transpired. Then you would have picked Maxwell. I mean, Maxwell's a far better spinner than Nick Maddison. We'll see if that actually takes place. But I take your point completely. I reckon Glenn Maxwell, he's never played a test on home soil. He deserves a go. He's averaged 56, I think, in the last three Shield seasons.
Yeah. G'day, Tony.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Tony.
A passionate New South Wales supporter. But was Nathan Lyon lucky to keep his spot, do you think?
Yeah,
Chris.
Absolutely, I think. I mean, I think he could have been a calf strain away, certainly from Steve O'Keefe was injured and actually reported it himself. Apparently, it's not that bad an injury, but he thought, I better go and tell the selectors that I've got a bit of a twinge. So just in case I go and break down in Adelaide. So he's done the right thing there. I think he definitely would have been in the squad. I've got a feeling they would have added they would have taken 13. They would have taken both spinners over there in that case. I mean, Nathan Lyon's another one. His confidence is way down. And it's hard to blame him given the failures of the batting, because what's he bowling at?
Nothing.
Well, I think, too, the way the season started, Chris, in, the Wacker, and Steve Smith didn't use him well.
Yeah.
And I haven't met a spinner that doesn't go down quickly. You know, they do need a pat on the back and they need a bit of a rev up and support it. Yeah. A lot of them, it's a tough trade. And he's down big time at the moment. So hopefully his confidence just lifts.
Yeah, not much of the team probably missed Michael Clark, but I think Nathan Lyon misses Michael Clark for cricket reasons.
Yeah,
he was a fantastic utiliser of the spin bowlers. Yeah.
Chris, good to have you on board, mate. We love our weekly chats. Thanks so much for making the effort to come in.
Yeah, good on you.
Pleasure, guys. Yeah, great to be here.
And enjoy the Adelaide Test match.
Will do.
All right, fantastic. Chris Barrett from the Sydney Morning Herald, one of our experts on the Big Sports Breakfast.